You know, as we look at him and as we study the Bible, the more we study it, the more we realize that when we die in this physical body, there is still other life to live. And there's only two places that we can live it. And so I think it's important that we think about it. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews considered the Old Testament, and you might turn to the Gospel of John just a moment in chapter 5, and we kind of get the feeling that they have concerning eternal life. Notice chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." So as we look at the old Jewish people that were living at the time of Christ, they looked back to the old law, and they also thought you ought to reject Christ to have eternal life in their view. And so it was a different kind of way of thinking. They just simply did not realize what it is. Well, we know that if we're going to have eternal life, there's one thing that we must do. We must be in Christ, because he came and fulfilled the old law. And in fulfilling the old law, we see that we must be in Christ. Even there, if we look again at that verse 40, it says, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." He points up the fact that if they're going to have life, they're going to have to come to him and be in him. And of course, the favorite scripture on that is Romans chapter 6. As we read what Paul wrote, and in verse 3, he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Well, how do we get in eternal life then? We must be in Christ. And we must also have the benefit of his death. Well, how do we get that? We get that when we're baptized into it, into Jesus Christ and into his death. That brings about then the fact that we can have eternal salvation. You might turn to another passage I'd like for you to look at. It's in the 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11. In verse 11 it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So again, then we see if we're going to have that eternal life, it's going to be in Christ and in his Son. So certainly it's what we see is very important there. And as we go through what we normally teach people, one of the things we teach usually is that if we're going to be in Christ, well, certainly we're going to have to believe the Word to begin with. One must hear the Word if he's going to believe it. It's going to have to be presented to him. You might look over in Acts. You know, in Acts we see the gospel as it began to be preached and taught. And, of course, in Acts 2 is the first time it was, but I'm going to take you momentarily over to Acts 3. In Acts 3, I want you to look at verse 22 and 23. It says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Here we see the it explained, I think, without a doubt, the fact that we must hear that. And this was even prophesied in the prophecy. Well, that's one of the things that we studied recently. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, what do we see there? In verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God," in Hebron, "in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see the great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." So we see that Moses, in writing Deuteronomy, all these hundreds of years before it come to be, was prophesying that there would be a prophet raised up, and that prophet, of course, we know is Christ, and the one that all must hear if they're going to have life eternal. They must hear that prophet. And so we see all again. Now, not only are we to hear that words that he puts out, but also the Bible teaches then that we will have to if we're going to have eternal life. You know, I'd like to go back to the Gospel of John again. In the Gospel of John, let's go to chapter 20. In chapter 20, I want you to look at verse 30. Here we find, of course, Jesus being crucified. He's being crucified here. And notice in verse 30, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now, that's what we want. We want that life, that eternal life. I got to messing around a little bit last night as I was thinking, and I went back to Revelation. I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 21, well, maybe notice what is said here. I want you to look. We see, first of all, John writes, I want you to look at verse 6 first, chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here he makes mention of something that we don't normally think about, and that is a second death. As you get to thinking about it, a second death. Well, let's just go on in that chapter because it has so much in it. Look at verse 9. It says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So here we see, first of all, they encompassed the saints. They was around the Christians. And then we see God takes them and puts them in this lake of fire and brimstone. That's Satan now he's talking about. And then we see in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That small and great would be people of common people, or it would be people of high caliber. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. There we have that second death again. And this death comes after we die. And we're in the other life, the eternal life. And notice in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see the importance then of having our name written in this book of life. Because eternal life is going to depend on which side of eternal life we're in. Whether it will be, if we normally use the two words, heaven or hell. And certainly after this life is over, we're going to be in one place or another. I want you to turn to Hebrews a minute. In Hebrews chapter 5, one of the things in studying Hebrews, you know that they had become Christians, but they had been raised and grew up under the law, and so it took a lot of things, words to change their thinking on certain things, and you find this in the book of Hebrews. Notice in chapter 5, look at let's look at verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Okay, now here we come to a point that I think we need to see. And that point that we need to see is that Jesus, the Son, was obedient and suffered because of it. And as a result, then, he became the author of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation to who? To all that obey him. So it takes obedience then if we're going to be in this eternal life that we talk about. You know, back again in Gospel of John, chapter 3, kind of this we see in chapter 3, the kind of the same thought. Look at verse 36. If I can get it up here. In chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So again, we see this. Might ought to back up and read another verse or two. Let's start with verse 33. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we see the wrath of God then abideth on him. That is again giving us a picture of eternal, the things that are eternal. And that's what I want us to see. Just because we live in this life, we will see death. But after this life, there is also a second death, the spiritual death. We'll either serve God and live for him eternally and with him, or we'll be in the place of punishment, being punished in the lake of fire and brimstone. So we must believe and we must obey. And of course, there in Romans, you know, Romans is one of the best chapters that teaches that in the sixth chapter. And let's go back there and read more of it because of that. In chapter 6, I want to, first of all, in chapter 6, I want to skip ahead and then back up. Let's go to verse 16 and 17 and 18 first. Listen to this. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now here he lays down the picture that we are belong to whomever we obey, of obedient unto righteousness, if we're going to live with God. Now you back up to verse 3. Know ye not that to so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to serve the Lord. We need to believe the Lord. We need to, I didn't express repentance. We need to be obedient to the Lord, be baptized, and then we need to live according to his words and obey him. You know, I probably should have said something about repentance. Go to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, and let's look there at verse 18, I believe it is. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance is so important as well, and that means changing the life. Changing our life from the old life of sin and doing the things that are awful and to obeying and living a righteous life for Christ. That we need to do. You know, Gospel of John, we could just go after chapter and read John. I've done that a time or two. But just notice in the fifth chapter. Chapter 5 of John, 25 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now think about this. Verily, verily, I say unto you. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Because he lived as man. He is the Son of God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There you have it. There are two lives after this life. A resurrection of life, a resurrection of damnation, where we're lost. What a thought. We need to think about it. You know, there's another scripture that you cannot, you just almost have to read, and that's in Galatians. In Galatians, it's such a wonderful passage. I want you to notice in Galatians chapter 3. I want, first of all, he talks about the old covenant and the scriptures of old. Look at verse 8 in chapter 3. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There was a prophecy that he refers to. Notice in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Then drop on down. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise made. Think about it this morning. Eternal life. We have eternal life to those who believe and obey the Lord. We have eternal destruction to those who do not. where do you stand this morning? Are you prepared to go to the next life? If not, we're here to help you this morning. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to be willing to change your life, repentant, and need to confess Him before men. You need to be baptized. If you've not done that, we can help you. If you've been that and drifted away, you need to come back and serve Him again. You need the prayers of the church. We can do that. If you need more teaching, we can do that. Whatever you need, come while we stand and sing.